6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris at Light Force, joined virtually, as always, by Anna Forsyth at aforsyth03. Recently, having watched the Arctic Monkeys and noting that the Utes are getting into the monkeys.
Yeah, I mean, that sentence sounds strange on its own, but it's true. I went to see them 4 years ago, whenever they last came to town, and it was pretty much people my age and above. But clearly their last album or so, the youths have discovered them. And I confirmed with my Gen Z coworker that the youths are into Arctic Monkeys, which is great. Like, I'm not trying to gatekeep English indie, you know. Just if you want to get into good music, that's awesome. So, yeah, they were really good.
So, I do find it interesting that the Arctic Monkeys are in town, along with another small independent group from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Arctic Monkeys aren't big enough over here to be BC place worthy. They're not even big enough to have two nights, but yeah. I mean, part of hockey history in this town, part of cultural history in this town, Pacific Coliseum. I was being told by my friend how, like, Elvis has performed there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day, because that, like, the Pacific Coliseum was the venue if you weren't,
I guess. Yeah.
You know, if you weren't outdoors at Empire Stadium. But no, I mean, it's held host to a good number of top tier artists and bands over the many, many moons.
Yeah. I mean, so my friend was telling me, because I don't remember, I have this weird feeling I mentioned this book on the show before. I haven't read it yet, but there's a new book coming out about the history of the PNE called East Side or something like that. East Side Story, something like that. But, you know, gets into all the cultural icons that have come through, so yeah. Could be interesting.
Like the Beatles, who performed their very first Canadian concert here in Vancouver at Empire Stadium.
There you go. Well, not that we're ever on the cutting edge of anything culturally, but Arctic Monkeys debuted a song last night, "Hello Me."
Cool.
So that was their first live version of that song. Probably because they're about to go to Europe and they want to get it right for there. But, you know, it was still cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Did Bryan Adams come up on stage?
He did not.
No, I mean, he wasn't busy Saturday night, from what I understand.
Yeah. Were there any special guests on Saturday night or just Friday?
I haven't heard anything. And I mean, if you're Roger curious as to what we're talking about, Coldplay was in town. Mm-hmm. Their only Canadian dates were here in Vancouver, and Bryan Adams came up on stage on Friday night, and that then sort of set the, you know, belief that who's going to be on the stage on Saturday. And considering I haven't heard anything or seen anything, I'm guessing just Coldplay.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a friend of the show, Clarissa's Instagram. She often covers the events at Rogers and at BC Place. But yeah, that Roger Federer was in the crowd, obviously. Mm-hmm. In town for the tennis cup thing.
Is it Laver or Laver?
Yeah. Whichever one is the correct pronunciation, Laver Cup.
Which I think somewhat as a segue, that stadium in Australia was used for NHL preseason hockey.
Yeah, I didn't even put that in the rundown. I had almost already forgotten about that. But yeah, they did play a preseason game in Australia. And
they played two.
Yeah, one of our listeners, Lars, got to go, and I think that's very cool that it was, you know, all these NHL fans who have been watching hockey from afar for a long time get to see the game, and then maybe some new audiences too.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of games from afar, the Vancouver Canucks sent a roster to Calgary, which is maybe not as far, but considering the score line, maybe felt like it should have been. I don't know how much we'll get into that. But yes, preseason hockey has begun, and training camp has gotten to that point where, you know, the kids get to learn some tough lessons. Mm-hmm. Also, you're going to be listening to this episode on a Monday, not a Tuesday, and that leaves very little opportunity for the Vancouver Canucks to go and do something in between us and a show. So we'll talk about everything that has happened since last week, which the Vancouver Canucks made a trade. So cap problems that we spoke about, less of a problem now. But you solve problems by bringing problems into your team. And yeah, all of that and more in Rewind. Last week we were talking about Tanner Pearson skating healthy enough, thinking like, how is he going to find his way back into the lineup? Whoa, this creates some trouble. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a Tyler Myers deal about to happen, which apparently they're never training Mizey, as the front office would like you to know it. But, Tanner, how we barely knew thee. Mm. He has been traded out east to the Montreal Canadiens. And in return, he took a third-round draft pick along with him for a backup goaltender by the name of Casey DeSmith, which, again, another thing we sort of spoke about, like who's going to be backing up Thatcher Demko. Well,
yeah.
Maybe DeSmith is going to be that guy. But outside of the fact that, okay, so Tanner going to Montreal and DeSmith coming here provides enough cap relief that the Vancouver Canucks, the moment that Tucker Poolman hits LTIR, will find themselves with a few $100,000 to spare in space. Mm-hmm. Problem solved until Mikheyev sort of reintroduces. Though I believe if he's only on IR right now, his cap hits counting. So,
yeah.
Hey, cap problem solved, Anna.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, poor Tanner Pearson, barely knew thee. He seemed like a really good guy. I really hope he gets a decent shot in Montreal and his injury problems are behind him. Yeah, Mikheyev, we'll see, right? I mean, he didn't show up to camp for a couple of days because of quote-unquote personal reasons, so who knows what they are. Could be a myriad things. So, is he ready to go? I mean, they said a couple of weeks away, didn't they? But we have no evidence either way on that. So,
He said he wanted to be back for the start of the season. The season's not yet started.
It's true. You know, it's still a ways away. I mean, just even saying that to, I think for my roommate, hockey season is incredibly long, and he was not maybe over the moon that we're back watching hockey again. But, yeah, you know, it's still 3 weeks almost until we get to the season, so we got a ways to go. But yes, carrying a 20-man or 21-man roster when you go on a really long road trip near the start of the season, it's maybe not the brightest thing, so they did have to do something. And, you know, Tanner Pearson's finally healthy, so it does make sense. Now we have all the goalies. If, you know, Sorchenko and She Loves Spirit survives the tough experience they underwent tonight.
Which we'll get to in a moment. I found it interesting that, it seemed like Tanner was given choice as to where to go, because he was asked about Montreal and he had said that, oh yeah, no, heard some really good things about the team and I'm really excited to go. And,
I was just going
to
say, like, I'm sure his best buddy, Tyler Toffoli, said some very good things.
Well, and that was it. Yeah. You know, former Canuck Tyler Toffoli had sort of told him, like, hey, here's a great opportunity for you. And like, again, it's kind of weird. Like, generally when a player is traded, when they have absolutely no protection, as far as we know, Tanner had none this season. Like, he had like a no trade to a modified to nothing, which is kind of weird in my mind. Doesn't it normally go the other way around?
Yes.
Anyhow.
Maybe they thought he deserved a break. No pun intended.
I was going to say, that's kind of kind of rough. Did you hear, though, that portion of the medical staff that was involved in the conversation around Tanner Pearson are no longer with the Vancouver Canucks this upcoming year?
It's not the most shocking thing. I mean, it did seem to be like sweep under the carpet, nothing to see here, you know, type thing. But I don't know. Rick Tocchet's certainly keen on getting his squad in better condition. And apparently that doesn't just involve, you know, being in good skating shape.
Yeah. Thoughts on the third round pick go any other direction?
I mean, it's Canucks, isn't it? You know.
Well, but think about this. You need to solve your cap trouble.
Yeah.
Like, cap trouble isn't free. Like, the Canucks had to pay for that. And I see people like, oh, they can't give up this pick for this. And I think the pick was more the cap space. Like, does Montreal do this deal otherwise?
Right.
No.
I mean, it's a big risk, isn't it? On a player like Tanner Pearson. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't necessarily have use for Casey DeSmith, like giving away a sort of utility goalie like that and for a risk of a player like who could be back to being healthy, but yeah, who knows? Yeah, I'm sure you're right. It's just the price of business. I also want to say, though, I don't want to give them a complete get-out-of-jail-free card that they're just undoing Benning stuff. Because, you know, this new management team, like, have made their series of...
Benning signed that JT Miller deal, didn't he?
It's like one of those things. This is very off-the-rails comparison, but there's something in London called Boris Bikes. That's what everyone calls them, but they're like Moby Bikes, right?
Okay.
But like Moby Bikes are a pretty good deal. Good idea, get the city moving type thing. Everyone calls them Boris Bikes after Boris Johnson.
Well, he always rode a bike around Westminster.
Yes. Did he also. So it was kind of an easy thing, but it was like Ken Livingston actually brought those like did all the work to get them started and then Boris Johnson just kind of
took credit. Signed
them and got the branding when he was mayor of London. Anyway, yeah, who's to say who's to blame for JT Miller?
But like, well, let's be honest, Benning signs the deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that he was around to do it, but had he been, JT's a Canuck.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%. But it's just like, it's definitely not all Benning's fault. Like, they did their own damage too.
Hey, a little off the rails. This past week, while walking Baby Force to a sort of open house meet the teacher after school, walked past a gentleman wearing a Canucks Spaghetti Skate Fire Benning shirt.
Wait, on the back, did it say Fire Benning? Or
No. It was like, it was the stylized Canucks Spaghetti Skate.
Yeah.
And instead of saying Canucks, it said Fire Benning. And I want to say, wasn't it like Yerky that had designed that, or I remember seeing them, but the fact that this guy's still wearing it, that's some true commitment.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I had a Kessler like winter classic jersey that I was even too embarrassed to wear in London, so like commitment to the bit. You know who I saw walking around further off the rails?
Who?
Vasily Podkolzin with his wife and little baby.
Oh,
Just on Georgia Street, walking.
Did you stop and say hello?
No, I was with my colleague. We're walking between our new office space we're moving into and our current one, and I was like, "Oh, that's a Canuck." And she was like, "Oh, which one?" She sort of somewhat follows them, but
okay.
Yeah, looked a little harassed. Not like too bad, but just, you know, being downtown in the middle of a busy street, just trying to get through the day. Also, you know, new parent.
Yeah. I mean, we're off the rails. I'm going to continue this. You know, opportunities that have presented me where I'm either walking, you know, down the street or something like that and running into people or what have you. Rick Bonus was just coming out of like London Drugs one day at Granville in Georgia there.
Why is it like this was exact same spot?
And I quite literally bumped into him. I didn't like, I wasn't really paying attention. He was sort of looking the other direction. We both said sorry. Immediately I know who it is, but I'm not going to me.
Rick, what a bonus.
funny. I think it was a coworker of mine I was with. Oh my goodness. That was the assistant coach of the Vancouver Canucks. And they're like, how do you know? I just do. Yeah. I was out in Starbucks in Ladner, and Dave Onis was there, chilling, drinking coffee with his kid. I was at the Starbucks in Kerrisdale, and Brian Burke, coming on in and just
people have terrible taste in coffee.
Well, the difference though, Dave Onis is at the Ladner Starbucks, and if anyone recognized him, they were leaving him alone. Brian, however, was not being left alone. Mm. And it was quite clear he was coming in. He was trying to be polite, get a coffee and get going. He seemed to be in somewhat of a hurry, like based on the pace as to which he came in. He was very polite. He wasn't or anything like that. But people started like standing in front of him, getting in his way.
Mm. See,
but he thanked me for holding the door open for him on the way out.
There you go. The thing is, I think it's all about context. So, like, I've approached hockey players to talk to them before, but, like, not in, if they're just, like, existing. Like, saw Sedin's, actually, no, it's just Henrik, in the pub, left him alone. Like, yeah, I wasn't going to harass Vasily Podkolzin in the street, but, like, when I bumped into Alex Burrows in the Shark Club, like, next to Rogers Arena, where he was about to come and, I think it was the BXA ceremony. Yeah. Like, I talked to him because I was like, well, you were kind of here on public business. I think that's fine. And talking to Eric Gabranson in the sports bar in his place of work, that's kind of fine.
Yeah, I agree. Did I ever tell you the story about my sister's interaction with Marcus Nestlund?
I don't believe so. But you've held out some pretty good stories, so please.
Another Starbucks story.
Of course.
Well, so my sister and I actually both worked at Starbucks at one point in time, and I never got to interact with anyone who I would have ever recognized, but she did all the time. And anyhow, one day she's working on cash, and Marcus Nestlund just happens to be coming in to order some Starbucks. And so my sister's like, oh my God, you're Marcus Nestlund. And he apparently sheepishly sort of said, yes, I am. And she's like, can you get me Trevor Linden's phone number?
What a line. I love that, to be fair.
And I mean, the way she describes it is he just said no, but then one of our sort of mutual friends is like, no, he was like confused. And then it processed somewhat sort of down about it.
Yeah.
And said no.
I love your sister for that. That is a great, that's a great line, anyway, and fair play to
her. She'd probably kill me if she found out that I said this on the show, but.
Yeah,
Don't tell me stories you don't want me to repeat on the podcast.
It's off the rails, but like, it's preseason. Canucks just lost 10-0, so.
They did, didn't they? It's only preseason. It's only the first game. The Vancouver Canucks sent a very young roster. They got to learn some tough lessons. And you know what? I look at it this way. The fans were chanting, we want 10, and they paid good money for those preseason tickets. And the Vancouver Canucks, as courteous guests, they obliged. You're right.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, right? Like, you know, people are saying, oh, it's a proper Calgary NHL team. And then other people saying, no, it's not. It's like half regulars, half not. But like, I think once you insert like the caliber of players that they were inserting, like Huberto, your Kadri, like it kind of doesn't matter that it's only half the team. I think you're sending them out to play some players who might not even be playing for Abbotsford regularly.
Well, you know, there's a certain number of vets that need to be dressed, right, to, yeah, in a preseason game. And the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, you know, with all respect to Matt Irwin, he was one of the vets that they used to get to that point. Now, Matt is probably going to be in Abbotsford.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on a 35-plus contract, which normally is like, whoa, for $775,000. If he were to retire, I mean, the Vancouver Canucks actually don't have the cap space to handle it. However, that number isn't as scary. But yeah, it's, I mean, it was, you know, when Vancouver does finally get a home game in the preseason, which isn't for a week, they'll dress a more veteran roster. Granted, other teams are probably going to start to send more veteran rosters their way too. So, hey, whatever. It's the preseason. I think Wyatt said it best. The Vancouver Canucks could lose 167-0 and he couldn't give a flying and such and such.
Yes.
And, you know, despite me, you know, feeling pains agreeing with him because of the feud and all, he's right.
Yeah. Like, it's, was it bad to see? Was it disheartening to watch your team in the first game?
Well, they're down. Well, you put the rundown together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the game didn't happen. I actually didn't even have it on. I flipped to it. And it was, I think, like 2-0. And it's just because it's 2-0 in like the first 2 minutes of the game or whatever. You had already written, you know, what was it?
It was 4-0 when I put that up, to be fair. When I put, I wrote Canucks AHL lined up flattened by Flames Vets.
Flames Vets. Yeah, that's, I was looking for the exact, but and I'm like, the puck just dropped.
I was just getting out ahead of time, but.
No kidding.
But no, I think it was 3 or 4-0 before I.
Okay, fair put play, that fair on. Play.
But like, yeah.
But it was like, I flipped on the, it was like midway through the first period. And when I'm seeing this and I'm flipping the game on, like, whoa, what the heck's going on? Before we talk about sort of other training camp things, let's talk a little bit about this goaltender the Vancouver Canucks acquired. So, Casey DeSmith. If you know nothing about Casey DeSmith, he is a goaltender that this front office knows from his tenure in Pittsburgh, who has allegedly improved upon himself from his teenage years, or I guess early 20s, where he was arrested for assaulting a woman who may have been or had formerly been in a relationship with him. That's unclear for us to determine. And after being arrested, he accepted a plea bargain that had him plead not guilty to all charges against him, save for one. So charges were things like domestic abuse, assault, what have you. And he pled guilty to disorderly conduct. A single count of disorderly conduct, and as a result, he was sentenced to a fine of $124 and 12 months of probation. He had to sign a diversion agreement, which included things like community service, and if he behaved himself in those 12 months, everything would be formally dismissed. And he met the terms of the bargain, and he saw all of that dismissed. I have issues with the result. However, the justice system was applied, and to Casey's credit, he fulfilled what was required of him. I just would rather the Vancouver Canucks have not traded for him.
Yeah. I mean, you're just facing up to, once again, the sort of hockey culture, but it's just a little closer to home. We're not saying Casey DeSmith hasn't learnt from what he did as a drunken student, but it is just symptomatic of athletes, in this case a college athlete, but like clearly a promising college athlete, just being given second chances, right? Mm-hmm. Without necessarily showing up to earn them. It's just sort of expected that they get a free pass. I don't know. It's disappointing. I really hope he is a different person, but you don't necessarily just... It's not like he's been in an environment since then that mm-hmm. would necessarily help him to become a better person. Like, he's been in hockey with hopefully more mature people than on his college team, but not necessarily. Like, it's people that spend their entire culture around men. And, like, it's just not the most... Yeah, I just can't see that being the most beneficial environment to change your ways in.
But Anna, doesn't everyone deserve a second chance?
No, actually. They simply don't, but like, it's kind of like he was given a second chance, then he earned it, you know? It's just, but like,
Anna, you can start over. We all make mistakes.
Yeah. And people do. People, like, not all of us make assault-sized mistakes, but people do make mistakes. I just think it's important to talk about. Like, it happened 10 years ago, but he was an adult when it all happened.
Yeah, if he has... learn from this assault-sized mistake. Like, this is the other thing, and I've really tried to come to realize that when we use terms like mistake or outside of something that would often occur in hockey, but like just in the real world, when a collision occurs that harms or kills someone, we describe it as an accident.
Yeah.
And while the intent may not have been completely present, how is that accident, you know, akin to, whoops, I knocked over a cup of milk? That word can be used interchangeably for some significantly drastic situations, but then, oh, it's just an accident, should somehow forgive me for this. And I feel in this particular situation, like, you're right, he got a second chance, and not everyone does. I mean, I'm genuinely curious, you know, the woman that had been, see, the other thing is, it was allegedly assaulted. Like, he pled not guilty. That's the part that drives me nuts. It's like, I did it, but I'm not guilty of doing it. In fairness, plea bargain. So, you know, the court agreed, but I just, you know, yeah, I just feel there's a bigger picture at play, and I would rather the Vancouver Canucks not be a team that looks at this and says we're okay with it.
Yeah, but what do you expect? I mean, they signed Ian Cole.
Oh, I know, and this is the thing, like. You and I shouldn't be surprised, and I'm not going to say we are, but this is going to happen again.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
We're still, no closer to finding out what happened, you know, in London all those years ago with Team Canada, so, you know.
The investigation is ongoing, Anna.
Mm-hmm. They cannot comment.
Yeah.
The findings will be published in due course, etc. But yeah, it's just something that bears talk, like, needs to be talked about, because the culture is ongoing, the damaging effects ongoing.
Yeah. The other part of this, though, that does bother me more, and which I think says something, is the number of people in the space that, whether it's they cover the team or talk about the team, feel it's untoward to bring to light that he was, well, he pled guilty and therefore was convicted of a crime in the relationship or in relation to this assault. That's fact. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, it was formally dismissed.
Yeah. And
great.
I mean,
include that too, if you feel, but that needs to be part of this. Like this is something that a legacy that he would need to have follow him, right or wrong. It is fact. And that just gets sort of wiped aside. Like I saw an article when I started looking into this that talked about how, oh, the Washington Capitals should have outbid for Casey DeSmith because he's a great goaltender. Okay. Are you saying that you want this also? Because that's what you're getting.
Like, when I was doing research into this as well, there was just like a Reddit subreddit and where someone brought it up, and then people saying, why bring it up? It happened so long ago. Like, he has an NHL career and a wife now. Like, what?
My bad. I'm so sorry.
That's...
You are forgiven.
It's
Who am I to even forgive you, but I will forgive you.
Honestly, wild to me. But just like hockey players don't need your defense. Let's just put that like out there. I am not going to delve too deep into this, but it's been a pretty troubling time on the internet, as it always is for women. But, you know, in the UK in the wake of a program that happened last week and some allegations about a comedian and just like the amount of people online just defending this person they've never met. Just like they don't need it. Like multimillionaires do not need your sympathy. Sure they and do. They don't need you.
Because if you're not going to defend them, who will? That's cancel culture.
Yeah. Like, cancel culture, sure. Like,
hell with the consequences.
Casey Smith has an NHL career. He's not been cancelled. Ian Cole has an NHL career. He has not been cancelled.
Well, gosh darn it. C4 stands for, you know, Cancel Canucks Commentary something podcast. I'd have to rethink a fourth C.
But yeah, just we need to talk about it, so... Yeah. And we won't stop. So there we go.
Well, we are, because we do need to talk about sort of preseason a little bit more. And I'm looking at the rundown and realizing you had actually noted that we would be talking about this more in detail in Half a Life Empty. But good thing that there is another talk that'll go there. So let's talk a little bit about the preseason. Kuzmenko, he wanted to travel this offseason. And he did. If you saw the pictures, he got a trip or two in. Like most hockey players who take an off season as a means to continue to train and maintain their body's, you know, top level conditioning, he made sure to, you know, keep that fitness routine up. You know, he hit the gym, he was on the bike, in Bali. He wasn't on the bike in Bali, but I look at bikes when I'm on vacation.
Yeah. Why would you be on bikes? Yeah.
He was actually like using machinery related to bikes that you find in a gym.
Yeah. I mean, he looks good for it. Like, fair play. I feel like it does kind of show the narrow-mindedness of like NHL as just a culture that is just like, there is one way to do your off season, and it involves, you know, being on a like golf course and then being in the gym. Just God forbid, like a hockey player gets some travel and worldly culture into them. But yeah, I like don't get me wrong, I think it's really important to maintain whatever training program you need to look good in September. But yeah, he clearly does. So as Rick Tockett said, maybe they're all going to Bali next summer.
Well, if I understand correctly, because Manco's agent made sure that he had a training program and a fitness instructor or conditioning instructor or staff present in Bali. But, you know, you talk about sort of, heaven forbid, if the players are able to travel or sort of, you know, do things differently. I find it interesting that teams can tell a player, we expect you to do X during the offseason, this to which we'd have no control over, nor can we even have you come in to simply get on the ice by your own request that involves us, because the CBA says we can't be involved. But yet that implication is you darn well better show up to camp fit as a fiddle. Like, that part doesn't drive me nuts. That blows my mind that is possible. I get why players do it now, because of how competitive things are. But we're not far out from the use of training camp to get in shape.
Yeah. I mean, but like in a market like Vancouver, after Jake Virtanen, after Ollie Levy, like that picture,
I know.
Don't get me wrong, I didn't think that Ollie Levy was destined for great things, but I do believe that that picture of him on the
ice, bag skate that nearly ended his like
fully
everything
ended his Canucks career fully. But yeah, there seems to have been less of a song and dance than there ever was about Travis Green's training camps. Like, Rick Tockett's known for being, I think, also pretty tough when it comes to fitness, but you know, they did their fitness testing and their skate testing out at UBC before training camp started, so you know, they weren't making the big deal about of it that like Canucks media likes to make it out to be. So,
well, fair, but like, you know, we have seen a transition from Travis Green training camps where the bag skate was what you did in between heavy drills, to the Bruce Boudreau method, which I don't know what the method actually was, but based on the commentary out of the front office, not a good one, to the Rick Tockett, which is, yeah, you're right, more akin to Travis Green, though you could show up to camp with Travis as fit as possible. Travis would break you. Rick's not looking to break you, it seems, but you better not show up anything less than 100%. Like,
yeah,
you know, the fact that Brock Besser, who has played in the Beauty League for how many seasons now, this offseason, changed his program up, and the team's like, this Brock's looking good.
But he is, like, by all accounts.
Oh, no,
like,
I know, but
his skating looks great. Do I think it's purely because he didn't play in the Beauty League? I think that's more about optics than anything. I think clearly his new training program is working for him. I don't think it's necessarily like, oh, it was so bad that he played in some crappy hockey league over the summer. Like, but yeah, the people don't like it. They don't like, you know, PD posting on Instagram because it looks bad. But if you people find a way to justify their opinion, right? So it's like
off the rails, really off the rails here.
Do it.
Talking about playing in a crappy league. So a now former player of CF Montreal, the MLS franchise or Major League Soccer franchise in Montreal. The reason why he's the former player is he violated his contract because he was caught playing in an indoor soccer league, a recreational indoor soccer league. Now, how did he get caught playing? Because he got kicked out of the league for violently attacking another player. And he had given a fake name to play in the league. So as part of the process to ban said player, 1 + 1 did not equal 2. And when they finally dug a little deeper, voila, Major League Soccer player.
Did hear about that. Just like, talk about just not keeping a low profile.
No, but could you imagine like a Vancouver Canuck playing, you know, at Burnaby 8 rinks in one of the adult leagues?
Yeah, rather than just sticking around after one of their skates there and saying, oh, maybe I'll just check out.
Hey, guys, we got this new guy on our team.
Yeah.
You know?
I honestly, to bring it only slightly back towards the train tracks here, just speaking of Instagram, I was kind of surprised that, like, I think Kuzmenko, Podkolzin, and Petey, if I'm remembering right, went, like, wake surfing right before. And I'm like, they're allowed to do that? Like, Sedin's weren't allowed to ski for all,
I don't know.
Like, 20 years of that.
Like, the standard player contract has terms in it that prevent players from doing very risky things.
I know this is going back on what I was saying about judging people from Instagram and
no, but like if you've signed a contract that's pretty clear as to what you can and cannot do. I mean, yes, you should have an opportunity to go to Bali to enjoy yourself without having to hit the gym every single day. I agree. Go to Bali to go swim with the sharks.
Yeah, maybe not.
So while wearing a jetpack, your contract probably says you can't do that.
Yeah, so I was surprised. I mean, it's public, so I guess it wasn't an issue, but interesting.
Yeah. Anywho.
The point is Brock is skating well.
Yeah. we will probably not get to see the likes of a Brock Besser. Well, I mean, who knows? After the game in Calgary, who knows what we'll see in Edmonton on Wednesday, but I don't imagine the Vancouver Canucks are going to send a veteran-laden team to Edmonton either. The earliest that we'll get to see that, you know, team will be the home game on Saturday when Seattle comes to town. So,
yeah.
Actually, is that a home game?
No, I think they're in Seattle first. I think Seattle come to town after Edmonton.
Yeah, so then it won't be until
when is it? I can't remember.
Okay, so Wednesday. No, Seattle. Yeah, Seattle's the 28th. So okay, seeing as there's a game on the 27th and the 28th, then okay, we might see a veteran team in Seattle. Sorry, that's what I had in my mind. But then it's the 30th when Edmonton's in town. That's the home game.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track of the preseason.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm still barely in hockey mode.
It's very confusing. I tried to explain split squad games to my roommate, and he thought that was just crazy.
Well, you got 300 people in a camp. You got to find playing time for them.
Yeah.
Or they can do what the National Football League does, where in training camp they have like an 80-person roster with like everyone on the side of the field, and in one game everyone gets like 3 snaps.
Okay, I don't know how many. Snaps.
That'd be like 3 face-offs.
Okay.
So yeah. three shifts in the game.
A way to see everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyhow. Puts a lot of pressure on your very short time on the field. But yeah, like, I don't know. There was still some interesting stuff to see tonight. Like, I enjoyed watching Artu Ratu play. He seemed to have some decent... something, at least something.
I just want to add the caveat here. If you were able to extract positives out of the game tonight,
10-0. Yeah, Niels looked feisty. Matt Owen stuck up for some young teammates. That's about all I got.
Not to say there wasn't any positive. It's just. It won preseason, first game of the preseason. What time is it? It's 10 past Canucks.
It be that way. Yeah. Like, on the negative side, apart from the obvious, I would say, like, Jawu got turned over multiple times.
Don't think he's making the club?
I don't think so. But you know what? He's just... I think he did a lot better in Abbotsford last year than we maybe expected. So it's not really too bad a timeline for him to take some more seasoning.
that and the fact that as much as being a right D is handy, yeah, the Vancouver Canucks have quite a few on the roster. So
yeah, I think we're good for now.
Speaking of being good for now, it's us. We're going to take ourselves a short break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. In the upcoming segments, we will be talking about a pretty heavy topic. And I am doing this after the fact to provide a content warning that we will be talking, or me specifically, about an issue that involves harm. And if this is an issue that you feel isn't appropriate, my recommendation is to come back and listen to our regular show next week. But again, consider this a warning that the upcoming topic that we're about to discuss is a difficult one.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Is that because he was mad?
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He didn't play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
Anna, we've got time. I understand you've just started watching Dope Sick.
Yeah. So I'm two episodes into the show Dope Sick, which I believe from 2021. So late to the party, as always. But if people don't know, it's one of two shows. There's also the show Painkiller that's about the sort of opioid epidemic in the U.S., particularly in the northeastern U.S., as a result of Oxycontin, or OxyContin, as they always say in the show, which is a drug, a painkilling drug that was basically falsely marketed and pushed through approval processes under the guise of it not being as addictive as other opiates, but that turned out not to be the case. Lots of people died from overdoses, and lots of people were addicted to that drug. And I just thought it was interesting from the point of view of, like, this show set in, like, a working class mining town, being used to treat, like, mining injuries and industrial accidents type thing. Just an interesting comparison to hockey as a whole, because of the painkiller problem that continues to be an issue throughout the league, just over prescription of painkillers. And I just, you would think that hockey would have its reckoning on that, you know, after Derek Bogard's overdose, after, you know, several people calling it out after the Sportsnet documentary about it. But yeah, I think it continues to be a problem. So it's just an interesting kind of discussion about that sort of approach to pain.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, some of what happens in the hockey context, which I know you know, is the cultural side of the game, right? You got to play through it. Mm-hmm. And what you use to assist you in playing through it is generally thought of as getting the edge. Like, you know, when I saw you put this in the rundown, I'm like, oh, I can totally see the correlation. You know, slightly off the rails, but when I had my knee surgery from ACL, one of the prescriptions I was provided was OxyContin. I had, like, essentially was provided painkillers, Tylenol 3 as one of them. There was another one, but if the pain was unbearable, I could take OxyContin. Now, I remember when I went for my follow-up with my family doctor, He didn't outright say don't take them, but when he was reviewing it, hey, Chris, you have that. Have you needed to? No. Okay. Try not. And I was in discomfort, but I'm the type of person who lets himself get into a lot of pain before I start taking painkillers. Like, I'm not good that way, which is part of the problem. But I'm now looking back and I'm glad I didn't take Oxy.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how I would have been affected, and could it have been that it led to a, you know, path that became much more concerning or potentially tragic. Well, now fast forward to, you know, where I am today and everything that I know, my goodness, but we're not talking, you know, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. We're talking 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And before that, this is a pill that hockey players probably had easy access to because of everything it did. And then you start taking it for other means. I think, you know, this almost should be required viewing.
Yeah.
For NHL players.
I just think, as much as, like, you know, fighting's probably disappearing from the game, so maybe we won't have people, you know, that are just enforcers that are playing through pain for the sake of their jobs and keeping their jobs, but, like, you'll still see the glamorization, like, every single playoffs. There's a laundry list of injuries that players are playing through. Like,
body injuries.
Yeah. Like, broken sternum. I know he just sit out the last game, Tkachuk, but, like,
hey, Anna,
he played at least 8
NHL
games.
Players are tough.
Yeah. I just, the glamorization of playing through pain is just, and injuries is just really troubling, because, you know, the injections that they're receiving, the painkillers that they're prescribing, which, again, may not even cover it, but it sort of masks pain. It could get players more injured. Like, I'm surprised we don't hear about that. There's probably because there's a reason we don't, but I'd be surprised if that doesn't happen, where players are getting more injured because, you know, they're taking painkillers, so that stops them feeling.
The extension of this, though, is how performance-enhancing drugs.
Right.
So if you pop some steroids, that's bad. But why are pain mitigating not looked the same way? Because that's enhancing performance. Like, your body is designed to use pain as a mechanism to keep you out of trouble, keep you safe. Now, I'm not going to suggest popping a couple of Tylenol is equivalent to popping an Oxy. By no way, shape, or form is that the case. But whenever I've hurt myself, I'm beyond the Tylenol pain. And that's usually a good indication that there's more going on here. Like, I remember, like, when this, again, I broke my ankle. I walked off the field.
Right.
Like, on my own. Like, when I explained to the doctor, he's like, how did you do this? And I mean, it was mostly adrenaline at that point. And as the things progressed, that started to wear off and the pain was legit. But then to hear, like, NHL players break an ankle, break a leg, continue to play through the game.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's possible. Like, I know they're built different, but that's not playing through pain. Like,
yeah. And there's also kind of tangential to this, but that self-medicating doesn't just look like popping pills. Like, players self-medicate with alcohol to numb physical pain, to numb emotional pain as well. But because their sport is not providing them a space where they can feel that pain, either emotional or actual physical, culturally, it's just, we as a society at large deal with pain badly. That's where the opioid epidemic came from. It came from a background of patients being in pain and doctors not treating it and listening to them. So they're crying out for something. But yeah, hockey culture as a whole is keep going, keep playing, be tough. So, yeah, it's part of the wider conversation.
Mm-hmm. And this is a conversation that is beyond what you or I could talk about on C4. But you talked earlier about sort of this reckoning. The WWE, which is purely entertainment, some very athletic athletes, and I'm not going to suggest that the wrestling is all fake, but these entertainers have suffered serious injuries, you know, doing their job. Sure. You have the WWE going through a reckoning as it related to painkillers and wrestlers fighting addiction. There were many tragedies, but there was one specifically with a wrestler by the name of Chris Benoit who murdered his family and then completed suicide. And I apologize. That should have had a trigger warning.
Whoa. I had no idea about any of that. That's incredibly scary. Because, I mean, despite the fact that, you know, wrestling, quote unquote, is entertainment, not sport. I mean, it's very incredibly athletic, but, like, has some pretty similar kind of vibes in terms of being incredibly dangerous, and that just kind of comes with the territory. And like, it's not like they kind of have anything to fall back on necessarily, so it will be like, you know, play on.
Yeah, but you know, I bring this up because, again, I don't feel it's that far-fetched that something like this could not happen in hockey. And it's not just hockey, like they're professional sport, and this idea that you have to play through the pain and do whatever it takes to win for the sake of competition. Like, you know, we already know the science is suggesting that concussions are a significant issue. Yeah. And that type of trauma is only amplified by, you know, the use of painkillers and other, you know, addictive substances. So there needs to be a point where whether it be the NHL, I hope, then takes a leadership stance and says, you know, enough is enough.
Yeah. I just think it's a conversation we have to keep having, but it's definitely at the top of mind right now because of what I'm watching. But yeah, it's kind of part of this whole toxic masculinity of hockey culture that we have to keep our eyes on, for sure.
Agreed. I have not watched Dopesick. Yeah, it was on the list of shows that I was going to partake in, but when it came out at the time, I wasn't in a position where I felt I could.
Totally. Get that. And honestly, in general, I would say to everyone, take care of yourself. I am, because of what I'm watching and what I have been reading, I'm reading an incredibly silly romance book right now because I was like, I need something fun, and the world isn't really helping on that regard. So, yeah, definitely take care of yourself, everyone. So, as much as we like to engage in the serious conversation, also know your limits and protect yourself from that if you need to.
The preseason continues. And if there is a moment to, you know, consider, it's just the preseason. Don't take it so seriously. If the Vancouver Canucks win, the Vancouver Canucks lose. It is the preseason. It could win 172-1 in a game. It matters very little. The parade is not getting planned. Mm-hmm. The real games don't start for a few weeks. And even then, don't take it too seriously. Because at the end of the day, we enjoy and appreciate Vancouver Canucks hockey and love to hate it all at the same time, for the entertainment it provides and for the connection it provides to us and sort of the greater community.
I like that.
But if you, as a listener, wanted to talk about the Vancouver Canucks, Anna, where can they go? Is there any place that you would suggest someone go to have a conversation about the Vancouver Canucks?
Well, yes, Chris, that would be Discord. And you can find Discord by going to discord.io/C4podcast. And that's where we're talking hockey and sometimes other nonsense as well. So join the conversation.
Yeah, like video games. I brought that up this past weekend. You also have the ability to go to our broken website, c4podcast.com, where the widget works and most of our back catalog is present. Obviously, the unsolicited cold caller website builders are listening to this show because I've received three unsolicited emails saying, hey, here's the website we built you. Let's book a call and you can pay us a lot of money to use it. And one, if you send a link, please click this. Unsolicited in an inbox?
Yeah. Sketchy as.
Like, legitimate or not, I'm assuming or not. Two, we're podcasters. We're broke.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for, you know, the generosity of Anna's mom or Rich or Neil, we'd be broker. So, yeah. Buying a website, not going to happen. But yeah, C4podcast.com, where the broken website happens to exist. Why is it broke? Because we're broke. And three, if you were wanting to help buy us a website, or better yet, just buy us a pint, you can go to support.c4podcast.com. And that in turn will bring you over to buy me a coffee, or as we call it, Anna.
Buy me a pint.
And you can support us either as a one-off on a recurring monthly basis, or commit to the whole year where you get a slight discount over the course of a 12-month period. But any final words of wisdom for all of our listeners, Anna?
So I just realized 30 seconds ago that we have not talked about the PWHL draft. So I think I will save that for next week, because there might be some more news to report by that stage. But I'll just say this. One, I was right. I'm going to have to choose. They separated out the Connecticut Whale into every single franchise. So
so you cheer for them all now.
Yeah. But two, as torn up as I am about the end of the Connecticut Whale and decisions I might have to make and the end of the PHF, it was just very legitimately cool to see Billie Jean King open the ceremony and, you know, people, very hardworking hockey players who've spent their lives working for this moment, achieve that moment. So, yeah, more later, but it was a cool moment for sure.
Cool. Final words of wisdom for me. Think before you say things. Sage advice for me, sage advice for others. I understand that. Unfortunately, sometimes we make mistakes, and not all mistakes are equal. But on behalf of Anna, A4Say03, myself, Chris at Lightforce, I'm signing off this episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com, with We Out.